Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, the chairman of the Senate Education Committee, Senator Mo Dennis, joins us for the whole show on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
From your house to the White House, the folks at D&D Roofing can get it fixed with their eyes closed.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
Pro Group Management is the place where companies can find workers' comp solutions that are designed to meet their specific business requirements. As regulations evolve, Pro Group takes a proactive approach to clear the path to make sure your business stays ahead of the curve. Knowing your workers' comp program is optimized, you can focus on other important matters related to your growing business. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you.
Safety is the number one priority for the trucking industry. Over $7 billion a year is spent on technology, like this electronic eye, that will apply the brakes automatically. But the most important factor for safety is the truck driver. These hardworking men and women who safely move over 70% of our nation's freight and 94% of Nevada's. We thank you because trucks move America forward.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, coming to you from Carson City in the state capitol. We're in the old Supreme Court, and I am absolutely delighted to be joined by State Senator Mo Dennis of Clark District 2. It's always a pleasure to have you back on the program, sir.
It's great to be back.
I apologize, but I overheard a conversation you were having as we were walking into the building, and you were telling somebody it's been a crazy session so far, and my first question is why?
Well, every session has its own unique character, its own persona, right? And there's just a lot of new people, so they bring a lot of excitement, a lot of questions. You know, sometimes we think, you know, we're just used to knowing the answers to some things, and there's some of the new folks that don't have the background. And so, you know, there's also new leaders. There's been some, you know, just interesting dynamics as we've gone through the session. So it's and as well as there's new staff, there's new lobbyists, there's new advocates, and a lot of youth and energy in the building. So it's been an exciting session.
So how do you balance out the enthusiasm of all the new people on all sides with the realities of the legislative process, which is slow and pedantic?
Well, yeah, I mean, there's some folks, you know, especially when you first get elected, you know, you want to change the world and you want to do it fast. And so trying to balance between knowing what it takes to get things done and not trying to discourage enthusiasm, because I think that's very healthy for the legislature. I think and so you kind of try to, you know, you want to hear people out, but then at the end of the day, you also have to say, well, here's the process, and trying to explain how we've done things in the past. It doesn't mean we can't do things differently in the future, so there is a balancing act that you have to try to create. And, you know, and because, you know, in the past, perhaps everybody kind of knew all the characters, knew, had the relationships, and now with so many new people, you've got to kind of start over with some and try to continue that the process. But trying to work within, you know, the new dynamics that we have.
And you know, it's interesting because it's the same for us in the media as well, that we are meeting all the new people and having to reintroduce ourselves to the members, the staff, who are enthusiastic but maybe come from another place, mm-hmm. are not familiar with, in fact, for example, this program has been on the air since 2002, but somebody who's just arrived in the state of Nevada may have no clue whatsoever about what we're doing. So yeah. we feel the same thing. Do you agree with what appears to be the leadership and the governor's philosophy, which is not to go too far, to let the pendulum swing too far to the left in this session, because you've got to look at the future, and if you go too far to the left, then perhaps that would cause problems at the ballot box down the road?
Well, I agree that, you know, for Nevada, to do what's best for Nevada, we have to find that balance. You know, as Nevada changes, I think the legislature will change also. I think that, you know, we can't get out there too far on every idea that comes forward. I think that we need to, you know, the legislative process is a process where you work on some issues, and sometimes some things take a long time. Other times, some things you can do pretty quickly. So just trying to find a balance where everybody can work together and find commonality in the legislation that's coming forward.
I want to hit a personal thing, because you mentioned to me that you're going back to Las Vegas for an opening of a library. Why is this library such a big deal to you?
Well, you know, I never really ever wanted to. I mean, when I thought about politics, that wasn't, you know, someday I want to be a state senator. That wasn't, you know, when I was growing up, I went to the library. And as a Latino kid, you know, my parents had come to this new country, and I was looking for opportunities. The library was the place that I could be anywhere in the world. I could be anybody and do anything. So it's been such an important thing to me. And I really wanted to be a library trustee. I don't know why I even knew what that was. But I had the privilege of being able to serve for 8 years as a library trustee down in Las Vegas, Clark County Library District. But I also knew there was a need in my community to have a library. It's, you know, it's got a lot of Title I schools, which are the at-risk schools, low income, as well as high English language learners. So it's a population that really needs these kind of resources that sometimes you only see in the really nice areas. So I started working even back then to try to get a library when I was on the library board. Finally, we've been able, 2 years ago, we did some legislation that allowed new market tax credits to be used by libraries to help build. So while the library had been saving up to try to build the library there, that new market tax credits gave a little bit more money to kind of get it over the top. So tomorrow we're opening up a brand new state-of-the-art library, with technology, with makerspace, with even recordings. It's got a video recording studio and audio. I mean, it's just exciting what the kids in that neighborhood are going to be able to have available to them, in addition to books and videos and all the other things that come along with the library. And it's a it's an exciting design, and it'll also be a community center that people can come to and meet. So it's going to be a great future for my district and my community. And I appreciate all the folks at the City of Las Vegas that helped, the folks at the Las Vegas Clark County Library District, as well as others. I mean, they brought many others in that to help, and so it's an exciting day for our community.
Well, congratulations on that. Let's take a break. We'll come back and we'll talk policy right after this.
Tamarack Junction is South Reno's hotspot with over 450 of the latest slots and video games. Sully's Sports Bar, the Dining Car Restaurant, William Hill Sportsbook, and the Tamarack Steakhouse and Lounge. We're just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia.
Yeah.
Because of UMC, I'm putting my free time to good use.
Because of UMC, she keeps me on my toes.
Because of UMC and this guy, I'm here.
UMC, the highest level of care in Nevada.
Hi, I'm Eric Robnett, owner of Home Energy Experts. Has this ever happened to you?
Honey, did you remember to turn down the thermostat?
Forgetting to set the temperature? Not fun. We can help. Our new smart thermostat keeps the temperature set for your comfort all by itself.
I'm feeling hot now.
To increase your comfort, go to homeenergyexperts.com for details. That's homeenergyexperts.com.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
The Tamarack Junction Steakhouse is known for signature steaks, handcrafted cocktails, and world-class wines. Join us Thursdays and Friday nights from 4:30 to 6:30 in the Steakhouse Lounge for live music, gourmet plates, and well-priced wines just north of the Summit Mall on South Virginia.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with State Senator Mo Dennis of Clark County District 2. You're the chair of the Senate Education Committee. Obviously, this is, got a big spotlight on you and your committee this session. I think every session, obviously, with education. But teachers are very unhappy now, and there's potentially a strike in the offing. What are your thoughts on this, and how do you prevent a strike?
Well, I don't know that you... I think the important thing is to recognize that we have some great teachers in the state of Nevada, and we need to provide resources for them. And that's one of the things that we've been trying to do within the limited scope that we have. We know, especially over the last few years, we've looked to see what it costs to educate a child. That's one of the things that we're trying to focus on. How do we get there? We've done a couple studies. We did one and then updated it by Augenblick that tells us how much it costs to educate a child. And so we know that now, and we know that we need weighted funding in order to give extra money for kids that need extra help. All that means is that provides some more help for teachers, so providing, salaries that are adequate for teachers to be able to provide materials and class sizes, and all those things are things that we need to do. And, incrementally, we've been working on different pieces of that. And I think that we need to recognize that we have great teachers, and we have other teachers that are good teachers that can become great teachers if we would just provide the tools that they need. So, we're working hard to get to that. And sometimes it's hard because the revenue side, everybody wants somebody else to pay it. Let's make the tourists pay for it. But at some point, we as Nevadans have to decide that it's important enough that we're going to fund it at adequate levels so that we can make the difference in our kids' lives.
Mervin Murillo of the NSCA has said on this program a couple of different times that what we really need is an additional $1 billion to go towards education to even get close to adequately funding it. Is that even close to being a realistic number?
I think the Augenblick study came back, and I think it was probably closer to $2 billion.
$1 billion
definitely. I mean, we've put extra money in over the last few years, with Zoom Schools, Victory, even the SB 178 money that we did last time, which is a precursor to weighted funding. And it's several hundred million dollars worth that we put in. But we definitely need to figure out a way to get those higher amounts. What we don't realize is that, a lot of times people talk about, well, we're at the bottom of the list, right? But if we were to invest in those kids, especially the lower quartile kids, they're the ones struggling the most, we could move from, 49th to the middle of the pack fairly quickly. And I think that that's something that is doable over the next few years if we focus and we, actually educate the child, figure out what the needs are of our children, and fund that.
What do you think about the idea? And I've had several emails from people over the last few days knowing that you were coming on, saying that in the Clark County School District, the pendulum is swinging the opposite direction of Victory and Zoom Schools. That have appeared to me, at least, to be very successful.
Yeah, so Zoom and Victory. Zoom I started when with some great legislators. We worked together in 2013. That's the year I was the majority leader. And we said, what can we do to make a difference? And also, what can we do? For me, it was, what can we do to show that if you actually put more money into education in areas that are of need, that are proven, that are research-based. What could we do? And that's where we created Zoom Schools. And if you look at the results now, 6 years later, we've been able to get 6 years worth of data that shows, yes, if you put money into what Zoom is doing is full-day kindergarten, is pre-K. It's doing a reading development center, which works with kids one adult to eight kids, one paraprofessional or teacher with eight kids at a time, and then doing some additional time, so either summer school or elongated days. It shows that we can be successful. And even if a school is struggling as a Zoom school, they're able to work with the other Zoom schools around them, and within just like a year or a year and a half, be back up to the levels that they need to be to, because they're getting those extra resources. So we think that those have been great to show that we need to do that, but those are helping a specific subset, because we just don't have enough money to go to every child. And so we definitely have shown that we need to do that, but we need to do it for all our kids.
But are you concerned that the Clark County School Superintendent, our new one, is kind of going in the opposite direction with that?
As far as...
The Zoom and Victory Schools?
Well, my concern is only that we've got to continue doing the things that are being successful. Does that mean that Zoom needs to go on forever and ever? I think what that means is that we need to fund those kids. And in the case of Zoom, it's kids that are English language learners who are also free and reduced lunch. With Victory Schools, it's showing kids that are free and reduced lunch from certain zip codes that need it. The SB 178 money is from schools that mostly from one star, two star, and some three star schools. What's that showing is that we need to fund not only those kids, but there are those same demographics are in some of the five star schools.
Right.
And so we need to figure out a way to be able to fund all of those kids. And I think that we're heading in that way.
In your private conversations with the teachers' unions, especially out of Clark County, are the negotiations going better than what we're seeing on the public side? Because as I referred to earlier, there's talk of potentially a strike.
Well, I think, our doors are definitely open and we're able to speak with each other. We can do what we can do. And we're willing, to sit down with the teachers and have been. To talk about what kind of things can we do. In the education committee, we look at the policy side of all of this. Does it make sense to do this? And then it gets sent to the finance committee, which I also serve there, and then we can have that discussion is, can we afford to do this, or where can we find money to do more things with education? And part of it is not just finding more money, but how we allocate the money, and that's where, replacing the funding formula is such an important piece in all of this, because it'll get more resources there, even though it gets more resources to the places that need it the most, and I think that's an important key in all of this, and also flexibility. I think if we require less of the administrative little tasks that teachers and administrators have to do and allow them to teach, I think that could be another really good thing that can help without additional funds necessarily. But at the end of the day, we've got to get more funds for education.
And let's take another break. I'm going to hold you over for the whole show if that's okay.
Sure.
All right, and we'll be right back.
Dimitri Prine here for Design Outdoor. Are you a homeowner who's interested in remodeling or building a home? At Design Outdoor, we can show you how adding natural or manufactured masonry stone can add beauty and value to your home. And we refer only the best contractors. Our store and backyard are located at 11600 South Virginia, just north of DeMonte Ranch Parkway. Visit designoutdoor.com or call us at 851-9499.
One of the most psychologically damaging things parents can do to children in divorce is disparage one another, which is why I can't believe I even have to make this commercial. Half of your kids' genetics come from this person you're spewing hate about. Your children have the right to love you both, but more than that, they deserve to love themselves.
Marilyn York might be a men's rights divorce attorney, but this is for every selfish parent. Shut up!
Hi, I'm Dave Newman. Remember me? I used to be the house detective, and now I'm a realtor, full-time at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates. And a lot of people ask me, how's the market? You know what? It's fantastic. If you're even kicking around the idea of buying or selling, give me a call. Let's talk about it. Call me at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates and just ask for the guy who used to be the house detective, Dave Newman.
Everyone is talking about opioids, but they're not the only drugs that can be harmful if taken in large quantities or not as prescribed. You also need to be aware of side effects from anxiety drugs, muscle relaxants, sleep aids, and stimulants. Mixing prescription drugs with other drugs or alcohol can be dangerous. If you take Ambien with a glass of wine, it may be enough to stop you from breathing. Prescribed drugs can be just as dangerous as illegal drugs. Take medications only as directed.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with State Senator Mo Dennis, who heads up the Education Committee in the Senate. Governor Sisolak proposed a 3% teacher raise and a 2% roll-up salary increase in both years of the next biennium. But the raises would cost the Clark County School District $100 million. And the superintendent said that's well above the funding increase the district anticipates receiving from the state at the end of this session. So how does the governor keep his promise on that?
Well, I know, I'm not the financial guru. I know although I am on finance and follow that, and I have been studying the Nevada plan and been studying how we finance over the last few years. And I think that they have found a way that can be done. I'm looking forward to how we're going to make that work. But as far as what I've been told is that we can make it work, where they could still get those salaries and be able to still not take money away from the other areas. So we're working really hard to get to a solution for that.
How often do you get a chance to talk to the governor or his staff on this?
Their door's pretty open, so we get to, we are in constant contact with them all the time, and even me personally, I talk to staff or the governor, often, and they're working hard, they're new, and trying to figure out all the things that they need to, but they're doing a great job, and they've definitely been willing to sit down and talk.
An off-cited school finance study recommends a base of $9,238 per pupil from the state just to adequately fund education. The governor's proposed budget offers an average of $6,052 per pupil. As chairman of the committee, what do you think the final per pupil appropriation will land?
Well, I think one of the things that's been really great as we've worked on replacement for the Nevada plan is that we're actually looking at all of the money that comes in for education. In the past, we kind of tended to say, well, that this is this, and this part is this, and this part is this, and we look at, we don't aggregate it all. And so one of the things that we work really hard is to put it all in one place and say, this is how much money we're spending on education. And when we look at that, we're actually much closer to an adequacy level than we talk about. Some of it will depend on what happens with the economic forum, but I don't anticipate huge surge, but I do anticipate that it'll be a positive outlook, so I think that as we move forward here to finalize the education proposals, the funding formula, those kind of things, I think that we'll see that we're actually doing little better than we think that we are, but it will also have a much better idea on how we get to that adequacy level.
We're back into a situation, obviously, as you well know, of around 4,000 plus people per month moving to Clark County. Prior to the recession, it was 6,000 people a month, and as these close to $20 billion worth of new projects all kick into high gear, you are gonna see 6,000 a month coming in. Does that concern you when you look at the school system that, how do we keep up with this kind of growth? Because you can't build the schools before the people get here.
Right.
But then you have to build them once the kids are here.
Yeah, and that's the challenge that we've always had, we've had a little bit of opportunity to kind of catch our breath with the economic downturn. But I think some good things have been put in place so that as this growth happens, that we'll be able to keep up better than we have in the past. Along with growth comes additional revenues, but there's also additional challenges. I think that we've learned a lot over the last you know, a few years, especially with the recession. And I think that we are going to put some things in place that help us to be able to ride that out a little better when it comes to education.
Last quick question here. You're sponsoring a bill that would make changes to the need-based Nevada Promise Scholarship, which aims to help recent high school graduates attending community college for free. Immigration advocates hoping to change the scholarship program to allow schools to accept some other proof of financial need other than the free application for federal student aid, because many undocumented students don't have a social security number. But are you concerned that kids are not going to be able to apply for this because they're scared about revealing information that could end up with them potentially being deported?
I think, you know, I think that when it comes to the Promise Scholarship, the great news is that when it just came out 2 years ago, I sponsored the bill to create it. We had 12,000 kids apply. This year, we had 14,000 kids apply, and we're going to increase the amount of money that we're doing. I think that we have to find ways to be able to, especially to get to our future potential workers in whatever way we can. And, you know, the Promise Scholarship basically gives a promise to a student that, especially perhaps, that didn't think they could go to college. And we've seen this over the last 2 years, and we've had kids come and testify this year that, you know, if it wasn't for the Promise Scholarship, they wouldn't have gone to college. So I think we need to celebrate the fact that we've got kids now going to college that didn't. We've got, we moved up five spots in the states that are collecting FAFSA. So that federal money that they get in grants, we were leaving $82 million on the table. And now we're one of the fastest growing as far as the number of kids applying for FAFSA and getting FAFSA. So I think I think we'll be looking for some opportunities to be able to help all kids, regardless of whatever they're doing. But at the same time, we want to make sure that we're able to, that the program's able to continue to be successful as we grow as a state and continue to grow these students who get, you know, who'll be able to get a community college paid for if they follow through with the community service, meeting with mentors and all that.
Okay, just a quick answer though. Are you going to have to change the way the application works to be able to allow more of these kids to be able to apply?
We're looking at how to do that and to make that work, and then we're also looking at other scholarships that are also available to them.
Always a pleasure to have you on the program, so please come back before the end of session.
Sure.
Thank you. And we'll be right back.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
St. Ives Florist, for every holiday and every special occasion. For romance, custom home design, we have the largest selection of fresh flowers in Northern Nevada, and we also offer a large selection of unique gift items. Come see me, Lori Ann, at St. Ives Florist, 700 South Wells Avenue, or call me at 333-9190.
Pro Group Management specializes in providing industries with the necessary components to satisfy and exceed workers' comp requirements. Every business has unique needs and specific regulations. Pro Group Management stays ahead of the curve, providing up-to-date services to keep your industry in top form. Discover how we simplify your tasks, improve efficiency, and reduce expense to keep you moving in a positive direction. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you.
In addition to NevadaNewsmakers.com, you can also watch Nevada Newsmakers on YouTube. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. We'll see you on the next broadcast.